You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 406. Randall's joining me as well.
Hey, how's it going?
And we're doing our preview for Georgia. And it's a top 25 matchup, Randall.
Unreal.
How do you feel about that?
That's good. And I actually like being the underdog going into the game.
Well, we're an underdog according to the ranking, but not according to Vegas.
Yeah.
And not according to ESPN's index matchup predictor.
Well, let's look at it as Notre Dame being number 24 and Georgia being, what is it, 15?
15.
Yeah.
So this is only the second meeting between Georgia and Notre Dame. And the first one, Georgia did come away with the victory. And
it... And that was a game that Notre Dame faced Herschel Walker. Football fans have heard of Herschel Walker. And now the second game against Georgia, coming with some very good running backs. Chubb is within, he could get close to that total yardage for Herschel Walker's college career. And so I guess from now on, if Georgia wants another good running back, they just need to come to Notre Dame, schedule Notre Dame.
I guess so. One thing, let's talk about the game, big picture stuff. And we'll have an interview with Bob Miller from BulldogIllustrated.com. That'll be out on Thursday. So definitely check that out. They have articles previewing the matchup, including video press conferences from Kirby Smart, so you can get an idea what Georgia's thinking heading into this game. I know, I want to get this out of the way, a lot of Georgia fans are expected to be at this game, and that is a concern for me. It disappoints me, and it's also a concern.
From what we've heard, they're expecting 30,000 to 40,000 fans being up here in the area, which they're going to be doing. The Falcons are playing the Bears on Sunday. And, you know, so there's some other things. They won't necessarily be in the stadium, but I have a feeling this could be like the Texas game 2 years ago where the money, if you had a ticket, the money started talking and people sold their tickets to these fans. There's going to be way too much red in that stadium.
And it's too bad because that will affect what we're trying to build as home field advantage at Notre Dame Stadium.
And I have to throw this in here. You'd expect that to be different at the halfway point of the season already.
Now, say that again.
I said, since we're halfway through the season already, you'd expect that to be different.
I don't follow you.
Well, this has to do with the Aloe Gilman. I was going to do it at the beginning and didn't get
it in there.
You didn't expect an Aloe Gilman.
Well, fine. Let's just jump right into that.
Yeah, so you didn't expect Aloe Gilman's waiver appeal to be granted until at least halfway through the season.
I didn't.
And they already gave a reply. It was bad news. He's not going to play this year, will not be able to play, but he will be eligible next year and have 3 years of eligibility remaining. But that was even quicker than I thought. I said between games 2 and 4 we would find out. So that was even quicker than I expected, but I kind of had to throw that in there.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. The interview with Bob Miller will go more into in-depth about Georgia, but we do just want to briefly cover a few things, who they are. Their two running backs are insane. Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, very, very athletic, very gifted, very powerful. However, their O-line is a big question mark, and so even though these are two great running backs, it is possible Notre Dame's defense might have some success versus this offensive running attack from Georgia.
Well, Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference this week that he said, we are not a read and react defense. We're going to create a new line of scrimmage. So we'll see what they can do. They're going to have to do that to this Georgia team to try and slow this run game.
And that isn't just for Georgia. That's the defense.
Yeah, but
so. It was working against Temple, but I do think this is a better team than what Temple had.
Oh, definitely. Even though there's question marks on their offensive line, it makes it a lot easier for them when they have the running backs that they have. They help. There's even comments made from the coach after the game that some of the gains, that big gains that the running backs made, were done, were made because the running back was not the offensive line.
And that's,
so can you,
and you hear Josh Adams and Brandon Wimbush just like praise the offensive line, like giving the offensive line, especially Josh Adams, giving the offensive line all the credit for being able to achieve the yards and success that the running backs have been having. And I think it's good of him to do that, but I think it's also true.
Well, Josh Adams actually gave, he received the game ball last week, but then he gave it to the offensive line.
He received the game ball as a freshman and ended up giving it to his mom's friend. Do you remember that?
Nah, just faintly. I don't remember for sure who it was.
I forget the details, but it was something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's to keep him hungry, so he always has to get a new game ball. One.
Yeah.
But either way, the running backs are great. Big question marks with the offensive line. Tight end group caught a lot of passes in their opener.
They actually have, the tight ends are one of their strengths on the offense.
They have experience there. They're deep. And more or less, I mean, kind of what Notre Dame has. Like, they've got, they're deep there and have talent there, and so does Georgia.
And with the quarterback on offense, everybody's talking about the quarterback situation there at Georgia. And I don't know if you watch, you know, talking about it before I rewatched the Georgia-Appalachian State game, I was like, oh, this will be great. But watching that game, Georgia wasn't able, granted it was the first couple series of the games, but Georgia wasn't able to move the ball. I think after, by the, Jacob Eason got hurt on the third drive of the game, and I think at that point they'd only gained 4 yards of offense, and that was the third drive. They could not run. They couldn't even run against Appalachian State. And then Fromm came in and started throwing the ball. It was just short passes, short, easy passes, but I'm sure it was designed like that, you know, to get build his confidence. But that kind of opened things up, and then they scored, what was it, the next three drives they scored on a touchdown.
Yeah, after he came in for the full series, they scored touchdowns on every series, took 4 plays. So they had 4 plays and a touchdown, 4 plays and a touchdown, 4 plays and a touchdown, and then at the end of the half, they were 3 and out and punted the ball.
So, yeah, he is a true freshman, but he was here in the spring, and he, it's almost like Kaiser coming in cold against Virginia 2 years ago, and then starting the following week. It's not like he's coming in and hasn't had any game experience. I mean, he played most of that game. And granted, it wasn't an opponent like Notre Dame, but I don't think he's going to be as nervous about it as what we're hoping he is.
Overall, I do think Notre Dame's defense is going to create problems for Georgia's offense. I think overall this is going to be a lower scoring game, not in the teens, but definitely a lower scoring game.
Lower than the teens? Oh,
no, I'm just saying more than the teens, in the 20s.
Single digits?
In the 20s.
Okay.
Okay, on the defense, this is where I am concerned about this Georgia team. I did rewatch the App State game, and their front seven is violent. They're explosive. They
move around a lot.
Yeah, you had mentioned Randall, yeah.
It looked like a couple times they shifted, the line shifted one way or the other right before the ball was snapped. I mean, there's a lot of movement there, and they're trying to confuse the quarterback. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of that because you got Wimbush, who's making his second career start, and they know that. And so they're going to try to do whatever they can because, you know, like Bob mentioned, one struggle that Georgia has had is stopping a mobile quarterback, and this will be a big challenge for them.
They do have Bob mentioned they have a heavy rotation in their front seven to keep guys fresh, but so as good as their front seven is, their secondary is definitely not deep. And in fact, I believe across the board, the backups are freshmen.
Yeah, listening to some Bulldogs podcasts and reading a couple things, it sounds like they've had the same struggle Notre Dame has. They haven't had much success recruiting safeties, and so they don't have depth, and they're struggling. I think one of the guys is injured, so they're struggling a little bit. Basically, the same situation Notre Dame is in. The nice thing is, I think our quarterback can throw better than their quarterback with the deep ball when it gets to safety. But yeah,
we'll give
that'll be our. I think Notre Dame has to pass the ball, test these safeties of Georgia, which will open things up for the run game.
We'll give our thoughts on how we think the game's going to go after we go through the different position groups and mention the comments that Brian Kelly gave in his press conference from Tuesday. Starting with the depth chart for the Georgia game is unchanged except for Justin Yoon is listed as the kickoff person, which he did do against. Or was he listed as the kickoff?
Yeah, I think he was listed the first week, okay. Well, and he's still listed there.
So there wasn't any change then that I noticed. No.
A lot of ors.
However, Brian Kelly did say he was asked how many people will play, how many guys will play on offense and on defense. And on defense, he said very similar to what he did against Temple. And in his Sunday press conference, he said they played 24 players, played at least 10 snaps. And he said it'd be similar to that against Georgia. On offense, I don't remember the number he gave, but he did say they...
I think there's a total of 54 players on the field.
Okay, on special teams then, okay.
Well, yeah, that includes special teams.
He did... One thing he mentioned that I don't know exactly what he means, but he said that they do have some things figured out on offense as far as personnel. We still have Freddie Canteen and Cam Smith listed as the second and third wide receiver, but I also do expect to see some more play from Chase Claypool, maybe Boykin, and maybe hopefully CJ Sanders or Chris Fink or someone else. Because against Temple, it wasn't, besides EQ, the wide receiver group wasn't all that impressive.
No, and I don't think they needed to be.
They didn't need to be, and they weren't targeted heavily.
I think that's why we'll see more of a rotation in this game, because they kept talking in fall camp about how they had a rotation at receiver. They wanted to keep the fresh guy in there, and they're going to need to throw the ball more than they did against Temple. And so I think we'll see more of that rotation. I'm not worried about what we saw in the first game, because they didn't need that rotation. They didn't need to bring other guys in, and so I'm not worried about it because we didn't see more in the first game.
I agree with you, and that was one thing I wrote down as a prediction, that we will see more receivers play, but experience is so valuable, especially for these receivers who haven't played much. Why didn't they play more against Temple just for the sake of experience? And it's not, I don't really have an answer for it.
Because you want to run the ball.
I know, but
prove that you can run the ball.
You wouldn't have had to have Cam Smith out there as much as he was. You could have had Chase Claypool out there.
Well, Chase was out there.
But not much.
He didn't catch, yeah.
Tight ends. Jermaine Smythe is continuing to go through the concussion protocol. He was in non-contact practice on Tuesday. And I haven't heard anything that
he was expected to be back.
Yeah.
Full contact today. And Micah Dutredway practiced as well. I don't think we had mentioned it, but he was actually out for the first game. And he was practicing and sounds like he's good to go for Georgia. So that'll give us some more depth on the defensive line.
With the quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, Brian Kelly did address him getting hit again, and he did say that something that they need to take care of, unwanted or unwarranted hits on the quarterback. Now, I think some of those were the offensive line's fault, where a rusher got through. However, too many of them were definitely unwarranted, because Brandon Wimbush could have simply slid.
Yeah.
And these are stronger athletes. These hits are going to be harder. It's primetime game. I'm not saying anyone will take a cheap shot, but there's a better chance of you know, Brandon Wimbush getting knocked out, even for like a series maybe, from the kind of athletes that Georgia has on the field, especially with that ferocious front seven.
Yeah, the only difference, I didn't mention it earlier, but I'm not sure what size their offense or their defensive line, what their average size is, but they were going up, the team they were going up against last week, Georgia's offensive line averaged 300 pounds and Appalachian State averaged 260. And they were able to slow down the run game for the first couple of series. It took a little
bit. You're saying App State's defensive line was 260?
Average 260, going up against average of 300 pounds. And they were, they stopped the run game for the first two and a half series. So it's going to be, I think, Georgia, it's going to look different. There, it's not a surprise. They're used to playing SEC teams. But for this year, if there's any new guy, it's a completely different game when it was last week. And yeah, hopefully they won't, that some of those first hits will be a little weak because they've been going against smaller guys.
And from, I guess we'll still see Hainsey and Kramer splitting time over at the right tackle. And at some point I would think one of them would emerge as a full-time starter. But until that happens,
I don't know. They seem content doing the rotation thing right now. But yeah, definitely. I don't know. I think if they don't figure something out, teams will kind of be able to tell what they're, what plays they're running.
I don't know if they were running different plays because
Hainsey, well, is definitely more of a pass blocker.
He might be. He's better at that. But I saw him. They were both in there, but when they were running and passing the ball.
Here's the thing: like Brian Kelly said, we don't care. We don't care if you know we're going to run to the left. They want to be the point. They have the left side of the line, you know, that they should be able to do it anyways. And I think that's what they, how they should look at it.
I think they do, though. I agree that Hainsey is a better pass protection, Kramer as a run blocker. But they were in there for the whole, when they were in there, they were in there for the whole series.
We'll have to wait and see. But if they are doing any of that, teams will pick up on it.
Running backs, Josh Adams in his interview said, you know, he doesn't care if he gets 2 yards or 160. He's just there to win and doing whatever it takes to, hey, at least they're saying the right things, even if they don't mean it. And I believe it from Josh Adams. He's got a trustworthy face.
True.
But again, you hear him talk about the O-line and then paving the way for the running backs.
Do you expect to see more of Dexter Williams this week, earlier in the game?
I don't think so, because if there was a time I would have expected it, it was against Temple when Notre Dame was up by multiple touchdowns early in the half.
I know. We think we should see him more, but I think you might be right, because Tony Jones was in there with Josh Adams for a reason.
Well, I think
it was his first game.
Yeah, but Tony Jones wasn't in there as a only back until after Dexter Williams was in there, I think.
I could almost see a little more of a rotation going up against Georgia.
I think it'll depend if they'll just, I think they'll just swap out Josh Adams for Dexter if Josh gets gassed or dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, but hopefully they just keep pounding the ball.
But if they have two running back sets, then it'll be Tony Jones Jr. with, you know, probably Josh Adams at least at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
On the defensive side, we already mentioned Gilman is no or will not be playing this year. Cornerbacks, Brian Kelly was asked about Nick Watkins not being targeted against, or Temple not targeting him, and he said it was more about him being on the Julian Love being on the field or on the on the field side, and Nick Watkins being on the boundary side. And thinks that he said there's no such thing as a lockdown corner in college football today.
But we've heard that before. But I do think he's right with the numbers teams are putting up. Like we said, even good defenses give up quite a few points.
All right, are you ready to special teams? I mean, Justin Yoon, I hope he's not asked to kick a 40-plus yard field goal as his first field goal of the game.
Here's an idea. Why doesn't somebody change his calendar on his phone and tell him that it's October? Then he can probably make it. Because September is when he struggled, and the rest of the months he's only missed two field goals. So just somehow convince him that it's October, and he should be good to go.
But I'm concerned about this. I would not want his first kick to be a 40-plus yard field goal.
You mean in this game? So would you think they should go for it?
I think they should go for it unless it's pretty much a gimme field goal.
What do you think is a gimme for him?
Under 35 yards, maybe under 30 yards, actually.
So you think if it's over 30 yards, they'll go for it on fourth down?
If it were me, I would. Until he hit one, if he hit a 25-yard or 35 or 30-yard or whatever, and then later in the game, and he looked confident and was feeling right, then I'd have more confidence after that, having
him kick a 40-plus yarder. But if he starts showing a little bit of hesitation, then that's going to play into his...
He doesn't need to know.
I'm going to predict that the first field goal, he's going to make it, and it's going to be like a 43-yarder.
I'm going to say they won't let him kick over 35 yards. His first kick will not be over 35 yards.
Okay.
Are you writing this down?
Yeah, I'll write it down.
Okay.
With special teams, the special teams players last week were Tony Jones and Julian Love. So those were the two special teams players of the week.
Julian Love was phenomenal on that punt coverage. And one thing we didn't ask Bob Miller was how Georgia's special teams are, because Notre Dame's definitely a major upgrade from last season. I mean, even last year there were some kickoff returns for touchdowns, but definitely in the coverage units.
Yeah.
In game one. So yeah. We'll see. All right, we did have some Twitter questions we're going to get to, and then we'll give our final thoughts on how we think the game is going to go. All right, Joe Mayo asked, who will Doug Flutie be rooting for? Well, definitely not Notre Dame. He tends to play the devil's advocate.
A lot.
And then at Pexter24 asked, with a possible two starting corners out, will we throw more? So I do think Notre Dame is going to throw more, but less because of the cornerbacks and more because I think it's going to be difficult to run the football against Georgia.
I'm not as worried about the run game as you are, but I think they're going to need to throw the ball to open up that run game. They can't just do what they did against Temple. They're going to need to make some passing plays to get Georgia's defense to back off a little bit. And so, yeah, I think they will be. They'll have some passes early to try to keep, and every once in a while just to keep the defense honest.
A couple of comments from Irish Don. I guess on Twitter he's called Parks Don, at Parks Don. I'm looking forward to Notre Dame's O-line against their front seven. That is going to be a matchup that wins this game. Completely agree. Continues on, have also heard that their secondary is injured, maligned, inexperienced, and short, and I think the backups are true frosh. I don't know what size they are, but they definitely are banged up and not fully healthy. They're going to be undermanned, and their backups are, I think they were all freshmen.
Yeah, and they did mention, the young guys are taller. They did go out and recruit better, and they were, it seemed like they were targeting guys that were more like 6'1 to 6'4. I still come back to the argument, which I did, went through and checked all the sizes of the NFL safeties.
I remember you doing that.
And the average size is under 6 foot. And if you start looking at some of the good safeties, most of them are under 6 foot. And so I think too often we want to look at the size and think that's a big deal. And
is there more money to being a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Than being is there more money being a top receiver than there is a top cornerback? Because that would impact me. I mean, if you could make more. And I know that pretty much it's rare that you have a defensive player go and play offense in the NFL.
Georgia does. Oh, in
but
the
I'm
NFL.
Saying when they yeah. move up the chains, but. But maybe there's
Bob
just
Sanders,
more.
The great Notre Dame or Colt safety, was only 5'8", so, and he was a beast.
All right, one more from Parks Don. Driscoll tweeted that he was very impressed with the technique used by the D line in last week's game. Your thoughts on the D line play? We've talked about this over in the forums a little bit. I was a little disappointed in, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, Jay Hayes. I thought he didn't look quick enough to be able to make some plays, but I just went back and rewatched the first half. And when he on the plays where he wasn't able to make a play because he just wasn't, he just couldn't get there, he did force the ball carrier to take an extra step to either get back around him, which gave Notre Dame's defenders a chance to make the tackle for either a loss or very little gain. So overall, I was super impressed with the defensive line play. I mean, and we were going off about Dalen Hayes and Julian Okorah.
And Jerry Tillery even running 30 yards downfield.
Yeah. J.B. Chapman asks, how will they limit the hits on Wimbush?
I think a lot of it just has to do with Wimbush sliding and maybe getting rid of the ball a little sooner. But he was pressured. So, last week, and I think it comes down to getting rid of the ball sooner. He's got to do that, I don't know what he needs to do to get rid of the ball sooner, you know, go through his progressions quicker, or, you know, is his technique, you know, is it taking too long? I don't know, but...
Well, there's going to be...
If Temple got pressure, this Georgia line can get pressure, and he is going to get some hits, but that won't be as critical if he can get rid of the hits downfield.
I agree. There's going to be, regardless of the game, but especially against Georgia, there's going to be defensive ends, linebackers that are going to get to him and hit him. And you can't eliminate all of that, but you can eliminate getting hit when you're running downfield and you see the defender getting ready to hit you.
Yeah.
You can completely eliminate that.
I agree. We all look at it a little bit different if, you know, let's say he got hit 10 times. If they were all, well, obviously you got hit 10 times in the backfield, that'd be pretty bad. But I'm just saying it's a little bit different when those are in the back, when there's not much he can do versus, you know, downfield. The offensive line, I mean, that right tackle position, they got to protect him.
Chase Szymanski asked, will we stop receiving the ball? And he said to start the half, but I think he means to start the game. No, Brian Kelly has virtually... every time he'll choose to receive the ball at the beginning of the game. And he has defended this position in the past to get off to a quick start and put the opposing team on their heels. So,
and Notre Dame has been doing, especially last week, was the fastest of them all. But even last year, Notre Dame did good on their opening drives. And until that changes, I don't think he's going to keep on receiving.
DJ Quicksilver asks, what changes does the defense have to make to contain Georgia?
Oh, but back to the other question. One thing that helps with this team as well, last week Mike Elko made great adjustments at halftime. They gave up hardly any yards after halftime. And so that plays into that as well. If your defense can do that, you know, why not go out and try to score the ball at the beginning of the game? And then come out with those adjustments and take advantage of it in the second half.
That is a very good point. What changes does the defense have to make to contain Georgia? Again, I mean, I think the running backs are great. Tackling has been solid. I think they're going to do all right as long as they can.
They need to tackle better.
They need to tackle better. But Randall, have you forgotten so quickly what we went through in 2016?
No. But what I'm saying is if Niles Morgan misses a tackle in this game, it's going to be hard for these safeties to cover him like they did. It's going to be hard for these other players to cover to help out like they did against Temple. These running backs, once they get past the linebackers, past Niles Morgan, it's going to be trouble. And so if guys like Drew Tranquil, Niles Morgan, and I'll just say all the linebackers, they've got to make that tackle and make sure to do it right.
One thing that the Georgia team didn't show last week was they can't sustain drives. They were in their first two series, they were 3-and-out. Then the third series, that's when I forget how to say his name, Eason, when he went down and Fromm came in. And they did have 10 plays for 39 yards. And then on their fourth, fifth, and sixth series, each of those ended in touchdowns, but were four-play four-play series, and then to finish out the half, they went three and out and punted. In the second half, they had their longest drive as far as plays when they had 13-play drive ended in a field goal. They moved the ball 60 yards. In the following drive, they it was eight plays for 66 yards. And then it was again three and out. And then their final two series ended in an interception. Three plays an interception, and then six plays an interception. So this team, it can't sustain long drives. So as long as Notre Dame can keep everything ahead of them, keep the gains minimal, and I think you do that by by crashing on the line of scrimmage, what Brian Kelly talked about, this isn't read and react, but change the line of scrimmage, send your linebackers downhill, and make sure that everything is fit correctly for the running backs. Because if there's a miscue and one of those running backs for Georgia is going through untouched into the second level, like you mentioned it, and Brian Kelly mentioned it too, it's going to be hard for these safeties to tackle one-on-one in the open field.
Yeah, I agree.
Then our final question, would this count as a Brian Kelly signature win?
Well, I think it does just because it's a ranked team. How often has Brian Kelly beat a ranked team at Notre Dame? I mean, I guess you said they have and then they were unranked later, soon after that. But I think Georgia is a good team and this would be huge.
If Georgia is as good as what they appear to be, this will be a huge win for Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
And this will be one that we will look back on in 2 years from now when we're arguing about why he should be fired and talk about, well, remember that 1 year in 2017 when Georgia came to town, 15th ranked Georgia, and Notre Dame beat Georgia by playing physical football. So, yeah, this is going to be a signature game.
Well, and I think this will show everyone where the team is at.
It will.
If they can win this game, everyone's going to be a lot more excited about everybody's expectations will be a lot higher for the rest of the season.
We might even get some love from Colin Cowherd because he's been very down.
No, don't push it.
He's been very down on Notre Dame. In fact, on his radio show on Tuesday, he didn't even realize Notre Dame blew out Temple. He hadn't even definitely not watched the game, hadn't even seen the score.
Well, I think if Notre Dame would have been ranked last week, everybody would be talking about the 420 yards that they ran for. But since they were not ranked, nobody even notices. And it's easy to miss. When you go onto ESPN, it's the top 25 there, and it's not even on. It's that game wasn't even there.
That's the most annoying thing is when you go to the scores and you have to either filter through or search for independents to find Notre Dame, or hopefully maybe they're playing a ranked opponent when Notre Dame isn't ranked.
Yeah.
That's definitely a first world problem, but it's one that affects Notre Dame fans way, way too often. Okay, Randall, how do you think this game is going to go? And then your score prediction. Give your score prediction after you're done.
I think that obviously the number one thing Notre Dame has to do is stop the run. And I think they're going to have some success. And because of the rotation that Notre Dame has on the defensive line, maybe the backups aren't as experienced, but they do rotate guys. And with the new strength and conditioning, I don't think they're going to wear out like Appalachian State did against Georgia. And I think Notre Dame's defense will do better against the run than what people expect, than what most of us expect. They need to force Fromm to throw the ball, and they have to watch for those short passes. He can obviously make those short passes, but they need to slow things down, make it turn into a long drive where they can force turnovers.
And he threw two interceptions in that game against App State.
Yeah, and then Notre Dame needs to be able to run the ball. And I think they're gonna throw some early just to try to help open that up. But I think with Wimbush being able to run like he can, and with Adams, Dexter, and Tony, I think that they're not going to have 400 yards, but they'll do pretty good. And the receivers, we'll see more of a rotation with the receivers, and it'll help keep that defense honest. I think that Notre Dame can stretch out these drives and force some turnovers. I think there will be a turnover in this game. And I'm actually predicting Notre Dame to win. And because Georgia's had these short drives, I'm probably predicting a score a little higher than what you do, just because their drives won't last long. So I'm going with 27-24 Notre Dame.
Okay, we're really close in our score prediction. And I agree with you on one side of the ball. With Notre Dame's defense giving Georgia's offense problems, I do think that even though there's great running backs, I do think Notre Dame is going to be able to slow down the running game. And if they can shut it down to the point where Georgia is forced to throw the ball, then that's just better for Notre Dame. However, I'm not nearly as optimistic when it comes to Notre Dame's offensive line and running game against this defensive front. I do think Notre Dame's going to struggle. I hope they stick with it, even if they are struggling, just to keep Georgia's defense honest. But I do think this game will be won by Wimbush and the passing game. I do think some receivers are going to have to come up big. I think Wimbush is going to have to play smart so he can finish out the game. And I think it'll be close. I think Notre Dame will probably come out and score. I think they're going to come out probably and score in the opening drive or two. But I do think before the half, Georgia will be leading probably something like 21-14. And I like what you said, Randall, as far as the adjustments that Elko made last week versus Temple. And even Georgia didn't have a great second half against App State. At least not, I didn't look at the yardage. But as far as the points, they had scored in the first half, they had scored 21 points.
We want Falcons in New York!
That was a great ad, though. Saw it a lot on Saturday. They scored 21 points in the first half and then only 10 in the second half. And not saying that Georgia's coaches are on a tier below Notre Dame's, but I do think Notre Dame gets the edge as far as adjustments made. And by the way, App State scored all their points in the fourth quarter, which at that point didn't really matter either. But I do think that Notre Dame's coaches have an edge in making adjustments. And so I do think at the end of the game, Notre Dame will continue to score points and forcing Georgia to kick field goals instead. Final score being 28-26 Notre Dame.
Nice. Close. So I did, in our couple weeks ago, looking at the seasons, even all summer, I predicted Notre Dame to lose this game. So I did change my prediction there.
Well, and Vegas has Notre Dame favored by 4.5 points.
A lot of it has to do with the quarterback.
No, it doesn't.
What was it before that?
Well, there was an article that Solon had shared over on the forums, and now I forget. I can't find it right now.
Well, here's something else to give you some hope.
I guess there's no way to know. I'm not sure if we can know for sure, but there was an article from 24/7 Sports where they said that the quarterback didn't really have any effect in the line.
Here's something else to give you some hope. 2014, Michigan started the season against Appalachian State, just like Georgia. Michigan won 52-14, and I remember all the hype. Like, oh, this offense. And what are they going to do? Come into Notre Dame, score all these points. Well, the following week is when Notre Dame beat Michigan 31-0. It should have been 38-0, but we'll give them a little bit. It was 31-0. So hopefully we'll have the same thing here. Hopefully Appalachian State gave Michigan or Georgia some false hope that will be quickly squelched when they get to the stadium. And I do think Notre Dame can pull this out.
One thing I expect to see is Notre Dame to use some more tempo, especially when they're facing fronts that they think are favorable for what Notre Dame wants to do. I think they'll use more up tempo to try to keep that Georgia front on the field, and I'm excited for this game.
I'm too.
I'm so excited.
I hate that it's the evening. It's going to be a long day until 7:30.
All right, that is all that we have. Thank you, those of you who asked your questions or left your comments on Twitter. And we'll be doing other score predictions on Saturday. You can tweet out your score predictions. And then the way it'll work is I will send a promo code via Twitter to the winner via direct message, and then you can use that to get your free pound of coffee from MainStreetRoasters.com. The best coffee, roasted fresh in northern Indiana. So if you just want to buy some great coffee, just check it out, MainStreetRoasters.com. I drink it almost every day.
I do too. I haven't told your brother. I've been checking on a Yelp to try to beat his record.
Are you trying to become the Duke of Main Street?
Oh, I am the Duke.
Oh, you're the Duke already?
I don't have the most visits, but if you don't check in for a while, you lose your Duke. But I am the Duke of Main Street.
I was once the Duke, and then I lost my, I don't know, my badge. All right, thank you guys for listening. Check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Solon had a few articles over there beginning of the week with some thoughts from the Temple game, so check those out as well. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.